And the federal government hopes its planned deregulation of university fees will give tertiary institutions a better capacity to fund themselves. The Education Minister, Christopher Pyne, hopes to get those reforms through the Senate by the end of March. It's the deadline he's set for himself. But new research released today by NATSEM, the National Centre for Social and Economic Modelling, suggests that the policy change could drive inflation up and leech millions of dollars from the federal budget, which is the opposite story to the one that the federal government is telling us. Ben Phillips is the Principal Research Fellow at NATSEM, and he joins me now from our Canberra studios to explain. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Patricia.
How will the deregulation of uni fees lead to an increase in inflation? Explain to me the logic of this.
Sure. So the ABS's Consumer Price Index, it has a component called tertiary education, which is about only a small portion, but about 1.5 percentage points of the CPI. So when those prices increase, it increases the CPI. Now, normally a small increase from year to year would make very, very little difference, but when you're looking at the sort of fee increases that may be possible, say 40, 50, 60%, then it actually does have a substantial increase. And unfortunately what happens is that most of the welfare system in Australia is actually indexed to the CPI. So when you increase the CPI, it means that pensions go up, it means that family payments go up, childcare payments go up. It all goes up, erroneously, but it all does get linked to the CPI.
Even if higher education is removed from the Consumer Price Index basket of goods, you argue that deregulating the higher education market is going to have an impact on the government budget. How is that possible?
Well, there's two main avenues which you can increase beyond that CPI issue. And if you do have large increases in prices, which many people suspect will be the case come 2016, the size of the help debt for the government will increase substantially. So new loans from 2016 will be based on the much higher prices. So the government debt level will be much more substantial. So repayment for government will be increased because they have to pay a concessional, students pay a concessional interest rate and the government picks up the rest. So they're paying interest on a higher debt level. But also, you would expect with higher prices, there would be far fewer of the actual debts being repaid. So at the moment, around 17% is not paid of all help debt. In the forward estimates of the budget, that's expected to increase to around 23%. And with price increases likely to be substantial into the future, that could very well go to 30% or even beyond. And I suspect what's in the budget is a very conservative view of where prices are heading. So I would expect that, A, you'll have bigger interest bill for the government, substantially more, and also substantially more of the debt will be written off as bad debt through the help system.
On RN Drive, my guest is Ben Phillips. He's the Principal Research Fellow at NATSEM, the National Centre for Social and Economic Modelling. I'm sure you're across this. The government has contested your figures, as they often do. They say the finance department does not agree and they stand by their argument that it would ultimately save taxpayers' money. You stand by your figures?
Look, I think it's very hard to know what will happen to prices come 2016. I did read today that the finance minister, Matthias Cormann, suggested that prices may in fact come down come 2016, because there'd be more competition in the market. I would be personally very, very surprised, and I think most experts in the education sector would be very surprised. We already know that University of WA they have set their price for 2016 at $16,000 per year per student, and that is around about 90% higher than current levels. And QUT have been a little more cautious, but their prices have increased by around 40% on current levels. And that's just the starting point. That's what happens in 2016. But I would expect that what we've seen in the services sector, for childcare or for secondary school private education, prices increase much more than inflation. And that's largely because there's not much of a price mechanism in the higher education sector. So you would expect that the prices could increase substantially more.
The government says, though, that you can't actually say how much uni courses will go up by. I'm wondering, firstly, your figures are worst-case scenario figures. Am I right?
No, the modelling that we've done varies between what you might consider to be a best-case scenario. So that's just where universities recover their costs. So as part of the 14-15 budget, there was around about a 20% reduction in the grants provided to universities. So they will obviously, if this is all to work out well for universities, they have to at least cover that shortfall in funding from the government. So that's 20% increase in prices for a start. and then they can charge anything up to the international fee. Now, of course, there's nothing stopping universities from increasing their international fee, but I would suggest it will be somewhere between that cost recovery of a 20% increase and the international fee, which is roughly a doubling. Exactly where it falls is probably anybody's guess, but we do have information from QUT and Uni of WA of quite substantial price increases beyond cost recovery.
So what do you say to Christopher Pine, who says you can't predict what's going to happen with fees, so the whole research, he says, is unreliable?
Oh, look, I agree that you certainly can't predict the exact magnitude of price increases, but the risk is very much there. And the evidence thus far, and also the evidence from overseas, we saw that New Zealand tried this with deregulated prices quite a few years ago, and they had to stop the scheme because prices were increasing so much. We saw in the United Kingdom that price caps were at one point were £3,000, they're increased to £9,000, and every university bar one increased their fees overnight to £9,000. You'd have to imagine something similar would happen here. If you're a 16, 17-year-old student, you're not probably too concerned about what your help repayment will be in 10, 20 years' time. And also you have the knowledge that you'll be paying concessional interest rates. And if you do take time out of the labour force, you won't be paying those paying your help back anyway.
No.
And the government foots the bill.
Ben, I want to move you just, we've only got a minute left really, but I do want to go to this. The government today has said that they won't include the family home in the age pension asset test. This is actually off the back of research that NATSM has done that I think $500 million a year of handouts go out to multi-millionaire retirees. So do you think that the family home should be included?
Look, I don't actually have a policy position on that one, Patricia, but I do think
it should be. But you do have some serious figures behind you.
I do have serious figures behind me. And so households who get the age pension where they've got more than $1 million in net debt, there's around about $3 billion a year that goes to the age pension. And I would suggest it certainly should be a live policy option. And I have a lot of interest in that particular policy option. There's certainly been overseas, there's been examples where they have financial products such as reverse mortgages that effectively unleash the value of the home, and that can save the government considerable amounts of money. I certainly think it should be an option that should be considered.
What did you think of the Social Services Minister Scott Morrison put on the table this idea of, you know, being able to sell your house but not having the money you make from selling your house being given to the government, but actually you could spend on your own retirement? What do you think of quarantining that money?
Yes, so I think that's probably actually quite a smart move, but I don't think it's going to save very large amounts of money for the government over the forward estimates. But it's probably a good move in terms of allowing a bit more efficiency in the housing market, so it'll be easier for people to move house. But that, keeping in mind that when you go and move house, you're still going to be upfront very large taxation for stamp duty of $20,000, $30,000 a year. So there'll be issues around that as well.
Ben Phillips, it's been a pleasure to talk to you on RN Drive.
Thank you.
And that was Ben Phillips. He's the Principal Research Fellow at NATSM, the National Centre for Social and Economic Modelling.